So today, as we continue in our Advent series on the book of Ruth, we're looking now at chapter 2. And last week, we saw that there were a number of things in the story of telling of Ruth. We saw the irony that an Israelite would leave the house of bread, that is Bethlehem, that's what Bethlehem means, that an Israelite would leave the house of bread during a famine and go to sojourn in Moab. We saw the tragedy that was experienced by a mother and a family as husband and sons both die, leaving their wives and Naomi alone as widows. And widows in this time period being among the most vulnerable in the world and in the culture. We saw the door of hope open as the Lord, and we heard about news that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. And most strikingly, we saw the devotion and the love of Ruth for Naomi. And not only her love for Naomi, but her love for the God of Israel, the Lord. You know, Ruth must have seen something very significant and special in the lives of this family that would make her want to go all in on her wager on the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, even with the hope of food, there is still the grieving over all that was lost. None of that has changed. Naomi doesn't want to be known as sweetie, she says, when she returns to Bethlehem, which is what her name means, but she wants to be known as bitter, because that is how she feels that the Lord has dealt with her. Yet we have this other word of hope, that when Naomi and Ruth arrive back in Bethlehem, they arrive at the beginning of the barley harvest. It's the first of a series of grain harvests in Judah at this time. And as we look at Ruth, we're going to be looking at God's providence. We're going to be looking at his provision. We're going to be looking at his promise. And then lastly, there's going to be another P word that maybe I'll bring up. But before Adam comes forward to read, I've asked Michael again to play his piece. His piece, The Threshing Floor. Are you going to speak to it?
Do you like me to say something?
Yeah. I just want you to know, I want you to be curious about this. Michael is a very thoughtful person. And he's going to share something.
So it can be maybe just a quick note to help you get, how do you get from scripture text to piano music? And one of the things in Hebrew literature, there's a device called a chiasm. And it's essentially a structure of the story in which the beginning and the ending somewhat mirror each other. And then as the second event and the second to last event mirror each other on inwards, and there is a center point to the narrative. So concentric circles, maybe you could think of it that way. And Ruth exhibits those marks in various ways with that device. And so in the piece, I sought to use that device. So you will hear most easily the beginning and the ending mirror each other. And I think, hopefully, you can identify the center point as sort of the dynamic climax of the piece in the middle midpoint. So that may help at least get a sense of how you get from chapter 3 of Ruth, which was the inspiration, to an instrumental piano piece.
Thank you. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite, who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please, let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young woman, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law.
Thank you, Adam. All right, so firstly, this is a big chapter about the Lord's providence. Okay, so firstly, the Lord's name's invoked several times in the passage, in the whole book. We see the Lord's name mentioned by the characters in the story, but the Lord is only mentioned twice by the narrator. And it begs a sort of a question: where is the Lord in all of this? Right? What is the Lord doing? And I think that's a question that sometimes many of us find ourselves asking in the midst of circumstances in which we're living our lives. Where is the Lord? You know, it's easy for us to imagine evil working through the actions of wicked people. We can imagine a dualistic world of light and dark, good and bad, act and react. People do bad things to me, and I pay them back and get back at them. We can imagine that kind of a world. But oftentimes, we're not able to see what it is that the Lord is doing in the moment, as if, you know, there's a third out there who is at work and organizing and orchestrating. We can imagine that the Lord is doing things according to the counsel of his own will, but we can't see it. Now, sometimes we're invited into understanding it as we're walking through it, but most of the times we're only seeing clearly what the Lord has done or is, you know, has done by looking behind us, right? It's hindsight that we begin to see how it is that the Lord has orchestrated things, one thing after another. One Puritan, John Flavel, said something like this. He said, "God's providence is best read like Hebrew, backwards." Right? So the narrator is actually telling us the story from the perspective of hindsight, and he does so very well. It's quite remarkable the way in which he tells the story. Chapter 2 begins with, "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz." Now, notice how, if you're looking at the passage, notice how the narrator then immediately leaves off talking any more about Boaz. He goes right into talking about Ruth's intent and desire to go glean in the fields. And it's as if the narrator now is drawing two parallel lines, right? These two people he's mentioned, and they're just living lives that are parallel to each other. And what he seemed to have said about Boaz seems merely anecdotal, but there's more that happens, and that is a big word in chapter 2. Okay, happens. Happens is a good word. With Naomi's blessing, Ruth goes out to glean in the harvest fields, and verse 3 begins with the word so. See, you know, this is not a big word, two letters, seemingly insignificant. But the word so speaks of one of those occasions in which one stumbles into a circumstance that begins to change things. There's no particular rhyme or reason for Ruth to go out other than that she and Naomi need to eat. That's really going to bother me. Maybe. Sorry. Maybe the timer's giving up. Happens. It so happens. Anyway, there's no particular rhyme or reason for Ruth to go out other than that she and Naomi need to eat. Right? It's just the thing that you've got to do. There's nothing driving her choice as to where it is that she goes, but it so happens that she comes to the field of Boaz, belonging to this man that the narrator has just, it so happens, mentioned earlier. One commentator says that we could easily translate this portion of the passage with this so as the happenstance that happened was this. And what happens next? The narrator says, "Behold." Now, behold's not merely Bible speak. We don't use that word a lot. Lo. That's another way in which it gets translated. Behold. We don't use that a lot. But it's emphatic. It draws our attention to see a connection. These two personal lives and their circumstances that have seemed to have been moving in parallel lines, people who are minding their own business, minding their own affairs, dealing with their own problems and their own questions, they have come into a consequential connection. And their paths cross. Ruth just happened to choose Boaz's field to glean in. But the narrator tells us that there's more, because just as she is in the field, look who is coming down the road. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. We should be getting goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps, even just kind of talking about it. As if to announce something significant's coming, right? And the significance of what it is that's coming, the narrator tells us what it is that Boaz says to the reapers. And they respond with the customary greeting. Boaz says, "The Lord be with you." And the reapers respond, "The Lord bless you." That's the kind of story that we are now in, that we've been in. The Lord be with you. That's the question. Is the Lord with me or against me? And is the Lord here to bless me or curse me? Well, it's a beautiful way to tell the story. It would be easy for us to pass that exchange over. Just because we think that's how it is that people speak in the Bible, but the greeting and the response, it speaks to something that's true, and we may not recognize it because it's so common, it's so mundane that we fail to see the significance, right? The Lord is always working to show us that the primary story that he is telling is that he is with us and that his purpose is to bless. Now, there are tragic events that happen in this story. That doesn't negate that or discount it. We don't need to ignore or downplay it. However, the story that God intends to tell in our lives is not a story of retribution. Right? The story that God intends to tell and is telling is a story of redemption. Right, getting even is not going to make anything right. It's not going to do anything to right the wrongs of the world. Redemption, though, working through love, will. And unless you see that work and are curious enough to ask about it, it's possible that you could go through your whole life thinking things like Christmas is just all about the hype. That I just get caught up in the hype and the light and I miss the new life that's come, right? So that's the story of redemption. His providence is working. Now, many of us, I am sad to say, are sleepily moving and living our way through a busy life. We do this work of sowing and harvesting and gathering, but Boaz is different. Boaz has his eyes open, and he notices immediately that one of the women working in his field is not one of the women that he has hired. He can easily just kind of blow it off and say, "Oh, I don't know what that's all about, but, you know, she's doing work, and I've got stewards who are responsible for things, and they're taking care of things." And he could just easily have not asked the question. But he does. He says, whose young woman is this? And curiosity, friends, can make all of the difference, right? Curiosity about Michael's song can open doors for you to understand what it is that he's trying to communicate about what's going on in Ruth chapter 3. The artwork out in the foyer, if you're curious about that, can lead you into a deeper understanding or another way of understanding what's going on in the book of Ruth. For you to pay attention to the beauty that you see in creation can be another way for you to learn something about who God is and what it is that he is doing in the world. To read your Bible and to study your Bible, especially, is a way for you to understand, to be curious, to understand what it is that God is doing and planning to do. Right? Boaz asked the question. Curiosity makes all the difference, right? And here, the dominoes that have been lined up by God's providence begin to fall in the pattern and the path that the Lord has set for them. The foreman of the reapers, he says, "She's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." Right? That is, she's the woman that we've all heard about. The one who left her home and her God and her people and clung to her mother-in-law and came back to her husband's family rather than to stay with her own. These lives that have been moving in parallel lines are intersecting and connecting and crossing. And the foreman adds something else. He says, she came and asked, and I told her, glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. She asked to do that, and I allowed her. And let me tell you something, he kind of adds. He says, she's no slacker. She came out and has continued from early morning until now, except for a short work, a rest from the work. Right? After these events in chapter 1, Naomi must have asked, Naomi herself, you know, where is the Lord? What is the Lord doing? Why has this happened? Is the Lord with me? Does the Lord care? Is he even at work? And here we are invited to behold. Behold, right? And to, like, think about what that word means. To behold is to try and hold on to something. And in holding on to something, you find that it holds you, right? If we say something captures your attention, it hasn't, it's not put you in shackles, right? But you're held by it, right? To behold. We are to behold the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to allow his attention to capture us. Right, but and so we're invited, right, to look, to see the Lord's providence. Now, the second thing that the Lord is doing in chapter 2 is he's providing, his provision. You know, in calling Ruth from the fields, Boaz instructs Ruth to keep close to his young women. That is, that as the men are cutting down the grain stalks, the women follow behind and bind the grain into sheaves and then snack them. Ruth isn't instructed, now, you're allowed to glean in the fields, but you have to stick to the corners, the places where we haven't gone. She's now being invited into the field to glean there, and it's an extraordinary act of kindness. Boaz is providing a place for Ruth among his women to share in the water that they're in, that his servants are drinking. And overwhelmed by this kindness, Ruth comes and kneels down before Boaz, and she asks, "Why have I found favor in your eyes? That you shouldn't take notice of me since I am a foreigner." Right? There's a curiosity. There's a wonder. The thing is, we've read, is that Boaz has already taken notice of Ruth. Boaz has already heard about Ruth's kindness to Naomi. And Ruth's kindness has taken root in Boaz's heart and has grown and has borne fruit. It's inspired him. He says, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and have come to a people that you did not know before." Right? And in some measure, what is happening here is the promise that the Lord made to Abraham, that those, you know, that through Abraham, the seed of Abraham, the nations would be blessed, and that those nations who bless Abraham and Abraham's offspring, they themselves will be blessed. That's what's taking place. That's what's happening. Right? She is receiving the blessing of those who bless Abraham's children. And as a consequence, she is caught up in that blessing. She is now being a blessing. Right? The Lord repay you for what you have done, and full reward be given you by the Lord, Boaz says to her, the God of Israel. Full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Boaz is saying, the Lord has provided for you, and not only for you, but through you. The Lord has provided for us, for Naomi, for his people. Right? This wonder with which Boaz is speaking now, you know, as he is beholding, is he's saying, you know, before I'd heard of it, but now I'm seeing it. Boaz confirms for Ruth the favor that he has shown by more. He adds more. He provides for her a meal, and he shares that meal with her, not only offering the food, but he offers his presence as she sits beside him and eats. And lastly, he offers her his protection. by telling his servants, let her glean even among the sheaves. Now she's up among those who are harvesting, not just in the field. She's up among those who are harvesting, and she's harvesting for herself and for Naomi. Let her glean among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. So Ruth, up to this point, had been an outcast. She had been an alien, a foreigner who was sojourning in another land. She was an other. She was a follow behinder. But now she is a one amongster. That's what we're being invited into the presence of God, into the family of the people of God. Just as she sought refuge neath the wings of the Almighty, the Lord of Israel, the care of the Lord's people now become a shelter for her as she works. It's such a beautiful picture. And it brings us to the promise. We now are way ahead of where Naomi is in her understanding of what's taking place. Ruth left in the morning and was sent by Naomi with hope that she might come home with something. After threshing her gleanings, Ruth returns with her leftover lunch and her gleanings, and Naomi can only respond with, bless me. You know, bless that man. And we have this other parallel line now that is being brought in and crossed. At the happenstance that with which the day began has been more. It has become a happening. And Ruth says, the man's name in whose field I work today is Boaz. And now, this kindness that is planted in Naomi's heart bears fruit in the fruit of blessing. May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Ruth, you have a chance at life. Me, my life is over, she's saying. But the Lord has been equally gracious and blessed us both. Do you understand how significant it is that she could come from where she was imagining that the Lord had scattered woe on her head like seeds to now? She is standing in an awareness of what possibility is presented, right? What promise is presented? This man, she says, is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. Now, next week, Tim Bridie is going to preach, and he's going to talk about this idea of redeemer because it's so thick and full in in the book of Ruth. But he is one of our redeemers, very significant. It was good for her to do one's best. It was good for Ruth to do one's best, to go out and glean in a field, but to do so with so generous a master. Naomi is saying, this can only be the Lord's doing. He is one of our redeemers, and hope begins to well up in Naomi because the Lord's kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. And we might be thinking, you could say, well, that's plenty. That's enough. That's blessing enough. That blessing is going to last me a long time, that this has happened out this way. But Ruth has more kindness to share. She says that Boaz's kindness wasn't only for the day. He said to me, you shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest. So they've started, right? They've started with the barley harvest, but there's the wheat harvest. And, I mean, there are other harvests that are going on, and she is going to be there among them. This story, which had started off in famine and death in an impossible circumstance, has all turned and changed in a day. In one day, the Lord's providence, his provision, and his promise has begotten possibility. Do you know what it's like when you have no hope? And then a door is opened. Just as Boaz invited Ruth to sit beside him and follow with the gleaners, So now, in keeping close as the harvest continues, hope begins to find a place in the bitter one. Even as Ruth wonders at the kindness of Boaz, right, Naomi begins to see this door open. Now, let me just go and let's just think about how can you apply this. It's a beautiful story. It's wonderful. As you think about moving forward, what could you do? What did Ruth and Naomi and Boaz do to position themselves to be put in the path of such kindness and blessing and hope? Right? It seems to have all just happened. Right? God's mysterious providence has kind of come. And the question is there anything that you can do to put yourself in the path of that blessing? And I want to say yes. I am going to say yes. Firstly, Ruth and Boaz and Naomi were the sorts of people whose character had been shaped by their devotion to the Lord. This is, right, they were focused first on the Lord. Right? How is it that one is going to be able to recognize God's providential blessing, to recognize the door of hope that opens, that the Lord provides if they do not know the Lord? Right? If they do not desire him, if they are not patiently waiting for him to act. Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz are the sorts of people who are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? There is a character that they have been working on and forming. And that puts them in a position to be able to recognize it when they see it. The second thing that they did, that they had to do, right? They did these things that they had to do, that they needed to do faithfully. That is, by faith, every day, in good faith, they did things. Naomi heard that the Lord had visited his people and given them food, and so she returned. Ruth and Naomi needed food, so Ruth got herself up and went out to glean. Boaz had a crop to harvest and workers to manage, and so he went into the harvest. This is not big stuff. They are just going about the things that they need to do each and every day in faith. And there are promises about that. For instance, the one who sows with tears, the psalmist says, shall reap a harvest of righteousness. They shall reap shouts of joy. Right, so faithfully doing what you have to do in the mundane things has set them up. And then thirdly, we see this in Boaz especially, and I've mentioned it already, but they were curious enough to ask. Right, friends, the Lord's providence is always at work. Your apprehension and your awareness to participate in that, right, is to have the presence of mind for you to be able to behold so that you can see and participate in it. And here in chapter 2, this devoted, the faithful, the curious, they begin to see, and we begin to see too, if we've been listening and looking, how the Lord adds to those who have given themselves to him. That's what we need.